Just because I'm losing doesn't mean I'm lost. Doesn't mean I'll stop. Doesn't mean I'm across.
Studio 65 on the Sense Underground Network. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 5 of the Sense Collapse for Wednesday, October 16th, 2013. I'm your host, Cardinal, and I'm here with the Jet Setters, Pan and Canuck. The Senators are back from out west and getting ready for the home opener tomorrow, so we've got lots to talk about and lots to look forward to in the next few days. You can email us at podcast@sensecollapse.com, you can find us on Twitter, and you can participate in the online forums. Boys, what time is your internal clock at now?
No, I've adjusted back now. It's kind of nice also knowing what city I'm in.
No kidding. You had no idea where you were.
Not a freaking clue.
What month it was, what time it was.
That's what my city favorite. I was like, what month are we now? September? It's like, no. Well, that's also with my vacation, right? So I just really just checked out of my life, which is fantastic. Not that my life is very exciting anyway. But we were just jumping around everywhere. So I was just like, where are we now? LA, Anaheim? No, we're in San Jose. We are? Actually, I had a problem. I think it was the last day where I had to call T-Mobile. By the way, T-Mobile, when you're going, as a Canadian going to the States, I used to use the Rogers US plan thing. Never mind that. Oh my God. $3 a day, unlimited texting for a U.S. number, I would assume. Unlimited data. So if you have an iPhone, iMessage works on the data plan. $10 to set up, $3 a day, unlimited.
Wow.
So for the 6 days, cost me 18 plus a 10. And now I've got my little SIM card. So next time I go down, I've got that loaded. So $3 a day versus, I think last time was $80 for a weekend.
Oh, it's just... You get ripped off on data roaming.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what happened was I had to end up calling T-Mobile the last day because I spent a little bit more. I guess I texted a Canadian number instead of iMessage or something like that. So it froze out my account. I just gave them a call. It's like, all right, what's your phone numbers? I don't know. Okay. It's like, where are you right now?
I see four lights.
No, hold on. Canuck, where are we? Yeah, we're in San Francisco. It was ridiculous. It was just go, but it was a hell of a lot of fun. And we're going to touch on that too.
Excellent. Well, there'll be lots to talk about. There's some games which you'll be doing. I'm sure you'll have comments on all of them because you were at the game or three of the games that were out west.
Yeah.
Excellent. Canuck, you managed to survive this too?
Oh yeah, yeah. It didn't take me very long to adjust to the time zones. I'm not new to traveling. No. What I really noticed though was coming back and watching the Phoenix game last night and being on Eastern time zone, because it was so funny. When we're in the West, you know, we finally adjusted. We're watching these games at a somewhat decent hour. And everybody back home is like, I'm falling asleep. And I was back with everybody back home on Tuesday night.
Yeah. Remember me at the start of the LA game? It's like you just see them get ready for the puck drop. And I'm just like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Well,
it was the first full day.
I don't have any good roaming stories in the US, but I did have an almost $300 roaming bill from having to use a work phone in Jamaica. So you got off easy if it was only $80.
Yeah, but that you just expense it anyway.
Well, you still got to explain it. when you suddenly have a bill that's 400 and some odd bucks. Then
I warned you about this. You made me do it.
Yeah, you made me take the stupid BlackBerry on vacation to Jamaica, and you made me use it. Deal with it. Exactly. All right. We got game summaries. We got lots to talk about. Let's get going.
Game on! Change that up a bit. I like it.
That's the new goal song. That's Righteous Smoke. Excellent.
I actually like it now because I didn't really enjoy it before. I just remembered since DJ was on the show. No offense. It's not really my cup of tea, but after hearing it that way, I like it a lot.
It takes a couple of listens. The first time I listened to it, I went, okay. Kind of Southern rock style, but very different from what it's been previously.
Oh, don't worry about it. We'll hear it about eight times tomorrow. So
that's I hope so.
4-2 of the game in prediction panel right now, boys. So
we'll get to the prediction panel later. Just follow the script.
Nah.
Game 3, Sens at Kings. You two. This was the first game you two were at. Spezza was out, Greiber was out, Cassian, DaCosta, and Corvo were in. These game summaries are going to be pretty quick, so you guys can give your impressions and thoughts on each game, but I'll just go through them pretty quickly, and feel free to interrupt me if you have something to say about any particular thing I'm talking about, but my end will be pretty quick. In the first period, about 4.5 minutes in, the Sens had a power play, and there was excellent work by the second power play unit and a great opportunity from MacArthur, but he shot it over the net. And not long after that, it was 1-0 LA after terrible positioning. After an opportunity by Ryan creates a breakaway for Dustin Brown with Corvo on the wrong side of the ice, and it was open all the way in for Brown. Poof. By Anderson, 1-0. Then the Sens ran into a bit of penalty problems with penalties to Zach Smith, penalty to JGP. They were just being a little undisciplined. Then it's 2-0. Power play goal after Andy makes two great saves, and Greening had a chance to clear it, but it just rolled off the end of his stick. Kopitar with a big chance, and Andy made a big save to bail the team out of him, but didn't end up working all that well in the end. And then it's 3-0 for the Kings after a 5-on-3. And it just doesn't get any better as this period goes on. The Sens had a power play in the last minute of play, except the second power play group didn't do much. The Kings' penalty kill was attacking us at our own blue line. Bottom line is, the first period, Dustin Brown drew 2 penalties, scored 2 goals, and that's only in 20 minutes worth of play.
So you want to talk about the, is it yet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess the fight wasn't yet.
Not yet. I'm not sure where it is because I had to remake this this game summary afterwards. I was really sick this night. I didn't watch this game.
I think you're bleeding into the next game, Pan.
I'm not sure which game you're talking about, but I don't know if it's this one or
not. No. I am. Yes. That's, once again, I don't know what the hell day was like.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll get through this. We'll get through this as quickly as we can. The second period, the only thing I have written down from the second period is Pageau scored after good work by Condra and Cassian. It's 3-1. The third period, 5 minutes and 58 seconds into the third period, Bobby Ryan with an absolute bullet of a shot for a power play goal, and it's 3-2. Finally, the monkey's off his back. He scored, so all the wondering about, when's Bobby Ryan going to score? When's he going to score? I mean, he's brought in to be a scorer. He hasn't scored in all of 2 games. What's going on? So, good night for him. Greening wasn't having a particularly good night. Carcillo gets an offsetting penalty. I don't know why I wrote that down. Never mind. And at 15:33, the third period, Corvo scores. Sorry, no, McCulloch scores from Corvo and Bobby Ryan. So it's 3-3. This is good news.
Dig in front of the net.
Yeah, good news. And then at 18:58, Clark MacArthur gets a 2-minute penalty for hooking. Right at the end of the period, now that they managed to, the penalty killed off the first part of that penalty, gets it into overtime. However, at 28 seconds into the overtime period, just as the penalty is about to expire, Jeff Carter scores 4-3. Kings win in overtime.
Yeah,
yeah, for that game-winning goal, I think Terce was really, really looking to set up MacArthur to come out while coming out of the box.
Yeah.
And he just looked up, tried to set the time, and then by that, the play got past him, and then it was in the back of the net.
That sucks.
Yeah. But
I found this game exciting.
But we had no business. A lot of people. I didn't think we had any business in the game. We got owned.
Oh, really?
But we were very happy to steal a point. That's what it felt like. Yeah.
I'm trying to find the shot count.
I don't have it for that game, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's but I think it was something like 25-8 in the third period.
Oh, ouch! Not Wait, good.
No.
I think you're thinking of the wrong game again.
Wrong freaking game.
Yep. Yeah, the next two were the ones that were really blowout shot counts. Yeah. The two notes.
You guys
that
are
I
lucky it's a free podcast.
The only two notes I have from the end of this game were there were two really, really bad face-off numbers, which was Stefan DaCosta at 27%.
Get off my team.
And Jean-Gabriel Pageau at 33%.
You're okay. Yeah.
And the one other thing was DaCosta didn't win a lot of face-offs. But his two face-off wins led directly to the second and third goals.
But he didn't score them himself. Get off my team.
DaCosta.
So there you go. So that's the game in LA.
Well, you know what? I'm going to throw this in there now, Cardinal, because we did get an email from Landfill, and I think probably good to answer it as we go through these. So
you want to read that email first?
Yeah.
Throw it right in here.
So we got an email from Landfill, subject road trip from hell. Hey guys, I'm sure this will come up during tonight's podcast, but I'm very curious about what you thought of the experience at the games you went to out west. For example, the fans and the building atmosphere during the games, prices for tickets, foods and beverages at the games, maybe do a bit of comparison between us and them. Keep up the great work, Landfill. So, yeah, I'm reading that now because what you're going to hear is our recount of those games that we attended. So you heard kind of the summary of how the score went, but maybe we should back up a little bit.
Yep.
Pan and I got there about an hour and a half or so, maybe 2 hours before the game, and Staples Center is close to downtown LA. It is downtown, but it would be kind of like, if it was Ottawa, it'd be kind of like having the arena in Le Breton Flats, so to speak. You're kind of beside the downtown.
Yeah, exactly where I wanted the stadium.
But what's really nice about the stadium, it's not necessarily in a great area. Like, as you know, anyone who's kind of been to LA knows, you know, you can have really nice areas right next to really sketchy areas. And that certainly kind of felt like it, but they built up the whole area around that, and they've called it LA Live. Now, there's a convention center there, there's parking, but this LA Live that you hear people refer to, pretty much right across the street from the arena, is a lot of restaurants, sports bars, and quite a wide variety of restaurants, and different things like that. You could see where they have like a big spot. They probably have outdoor concerts, maybe during the playoffs, that sort of thing. So kind of, honestly, my impression of it is kind of like what Eugene Melnyk probably wanted to bring. Now, he hitched it to the casino, but he wanted these restaurants and parking and that kind of stuff. So long story short, nice place to go before the game.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it there. It was really nice. And the concourse that you're talking about, that really leaves things opened up. parking just across the street. I don't think there's much parking there, but I think that's just an LA thing. It's $15. That was fairly reasonable.
There's lots around because there's actually a big convention center and a whole huge parking lot of itself. But where we were, it was kind of a smaller lot.
But. Yeah, it's but yeah, I see the vision now in regards to having all the restaurants and stuff. But yeah, pushing that with the casino, I don't know. It's a controversial pick.
And as we went to go find our restaurant, Pan actually noticed him first. Bumped into Jason Spezza on his cell phone. Because he was a scratch that night, not a healthy scratch, is resting his groin, right?
That's right.
And funny story, we're kind of standing there looking at the map of where the restaurants are and kind of half waiting for him to get off his phone call because maybe get a picture or something. And this father walks up to him and with his two really cute daughters and, you know, and they get a picture with him. And he's taking a picture on his BlackBerry. He doesn't know how to take a picture. He actually goes up to Jason Spezza and gets instructions on how to take a picture with his BlackBerry. I'm like, I can't believe this. But we did grab him quickly. If you follow us on Twitter, you'll see the shot with Jason Spezza and his lovely skinny tie that we got really quickly, and he pretty much ran right back into the restaurant after that.
Yeah, he was too busy. I really wanted to get at least congratulate him on the C or other things, but he really had to go.
Yeah.
Good on him for taking the time, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's that. Before we get into the building, Spot the Idiot.
Oh, yeah, we met a fan in a Leafs jersey. Not only just a Leaf jersey fan, but he actually had a sign. And I asked him, like, you're in the wrong place. He's like, yeah, I'm just here to cheer against Ottawa. I even have an anti-Ottawa sign. He didn't show us, but
I didn't want to see it. That's what it was. You would have showed it to us. I didn't want to.
Yeah, I asked if she'd go back and take a picture.
There's so many murders in LA already, right? You know.
Nice. Well, never underestimate the ability.
And as we're walking away, he's like, well, may the best team win. I'm thinking, no.
No, may my team win, please. Exactly right.
That building is something else. You understand that there's three professional teams playing out of there.
Yeah. That's a big name venue.
Yeah. It was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Just beautiful building, beautiful lighting everywhere.
Yeah.
What else? The hallways were huge. That's one thing that I noticed right away. So the flow was fantastic.
Yeah.
Canuck, you love the bathrooms.
What's the deal with the bathrooms again?
Because it was just a really, really long line.
Oh, yeah.
And it just, you just cleared through it.
Well, actually, I think that's the next one. But certainly the bathrooms in Staples Center were nice. Much more modern, kind of contemporary feel in the concourse. It's been well renovated and, you know, escalators inside. You do have to go through a metal detector when you enter in terms of security experience there. But not like the full airport stripped down to that level. Just more like if you're visiting the, I don't know, Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. Just looking for big metal, right?
So, I think it's really the same type of security that we'd see
Parliament Hill.
The old, not really Parliament Hill, but not to that level because they have X-rays and stuff. Okay. But I remember going to concerts at the Civic Center, and they check the bags and do a quick wand. So it was acceptable and it's fast.
Yeah, it was fast. Yeah,
like it is LA, right?
Yeah,
true enough.
And they have a really nice scoreboard there, and the theme's going to come up, and I hope it stirs back up. Penn was, I think, getting facility envy at every place we went to, but they had a beautiful scoreboard and it's huge and
facility envy till we got to Anaheim.
Yeah, but the thing is that they also have like the new scoreboard we got apparently is the biggest we can put in there, and you think, yeah, right, but there's more room, room, but the problem is the ceiling can only support so much weight. So I think that was probably that design was as big as it could go without redoing the ceiling support. So Staples Center is very well, you know, built, and again, it hosts a multitude of international events and concerts and stuff. So they had a really nice set, and the speakers, Sen's DJ would have drooled at the sound system. It was really loud.
It was perfectly balanced right in there.
Freaking cold in there though.
Yeah,
this is a couple Canadians saying this, right? It was cold.
I was freezing the whole time.
Yeah.
Couple other things with that. Before the game, the Kings had a theme song.
We Are United. I couldn't find it on YouTube.
Oh, you couldn't find it? Okay.
Yeah, I tried. It was not bad. It seemed a little cheesy at first, but everyone seemed to get into it.
Yeah, and they all know the words to it, which was another thing. So especially, it could be kind of a double entendre for the community there, but somewhat with the gang stuff. But in hockey, they only have the one team versus basketball. There's two. Baseball, there's two. Football, there's none. So it's always, if you're a fan of LA and whatever the other sports are, well, which team are you for? So they really kind of pushed the "We Are United," not in red, but we're just "We Are United."
And almost everyone had a Kings jersey. You notice that too?
Yeah, lots of merch.
Yeah,
lots of cheering. They know their game.
Yeah, really the people we sat around was pretty good. Now we sat up in the top level, which would be equivalent to our 300s. The arena is a little bit, not quite Madison Square Garden, but certainly the 300 level doesn't overhang the lower level as much. You're back a little bit further, but not enough that it was an issue. Perfect view, except for a little bar, which was unique to our seat. That was nothing.
Your seat, mine was fine.
Huh? Yeah.
I didn't tell you that, though.
I think we were the only two Ottawa fans in our area that I could see. You saw some other ones down on the
By the bench, possibly just for the warm-up.
But we saw less than 10, and I don't even know if I counted 10.
Wow.
Yeah, we were alone. Yeah.
Would you say, hey, good for them, because they still filled the building?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, pretty close to it. I almost puked. That's pretty gross. I'm just getting excited.
Tickets I got off of StubHub, by the way. You asked about ticket prices. And taxes in... $21, row three.
That's just sick.
$21. Coca-Cola family zone section, if you will, for comparison.
Wow. It's
not bad there. Do you want to talk about the goal songs?
Yeah, so I actually do have a clip of this. And Pat and I were impressed with the LA Kings goal song. And I think I need to play it before I describe it. So you hear the repeated, hey, 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 hey. So one thing is that all the fans were into it. So everybody knew the goal song and they're all singing the hey, hey, hey at the same time. But we were actually laughing because the video they would show on the scoreboard, geez, I don't even know how to describe this. It was funny.
70s workout video?
Like dance, sweating to the oldies kind of thing. But all those hays, it was timed so that they would be on a stretch on the hay. So like, hey, hey, hey. And it was just funny.
It was awesome. It was hilarious.
Well, everyone's standing up around us and we should be feeling really down and low. We're actually looking at it and laughing, but not in a making fun of them, but kind of like, it was funny.
This is just awesome.
You're amused.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other thing with that is I think that's been their goal song and this will be a trend going down. But yeah, that's the goal song that they've used for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Mm. While in Ottawa, I was so critical, but actually I was really grumpy this
game.
Yeah,
you're really grumpy about Ottawa through this trip. But keep going. It's good.
Yeah, I forgot about how I was especially grumpy in this game.
No.
You were worse than Anaheim. I'll give you that.
No. You can see the level of rage in Twitter there. Where is it going with this? Yeah, so Ottawa, since DJ, we love you. But we like to change up the song every year. I guess it keeps it newer and fresh, but I do like how we always go back to song two in the playoffs.
Yeah. The only thing is I like how LA just kept the music and the people saying, hey, hey, with it. Like in Ottawa seems lately in the playoffs, they do the woohoo song and they duck it down. And I don't know if I like that as much. And here's what I mean.
Well, that's just a good
thing.
Yeah, that's just to hear the crowd though. But a couple of things with that, like woohoo, you've got to use your falsetto for it, so your voice isn't going to carry as much versus the LA, like hey, hey, and you can just yell it.
Yeah,
so I don't know, it's I like having that tradition, I guess you could say. And the absolute fan interaction. Because can you play this year's song again? With the goal horn and the song?
Yeah.
Just play it now again. What are we supposed to do along with that song?
Well, I think that'll be figured out in the first 10 home games.
It's a different approach. Like that, what they did was a very intentional approach to have a song where the crowd would interact with the song, whereas we have a different approach where we're just playing a cool song. So I agree with you. I like the interactive thing. I think it builds character. And you can tell it when you've been in an arena where they know, everybody knows what to do because they've been doing this for a couple seasons. Whereas, you know, in Ottawa, we've been changing it. And it seems the only thing that's ever stuck is that Woohoo song, which is pretty good. But
yeah. And yeah. I do like the tradition of it.
Yeah.
Because just going back to that first year, I remember all of it.
How would you find the fans in LA, Pan?
Yeah, that's one thing I was going to talk about because we were in line at concessions and we'll talk on concessions in a bit. We're in line and I wasn't really paying attention, just being patient in the lineup. Of course, I'm too small, so I'm not going to be a jerk. And a couple of King fans just walk by and just go, "Hey, Ottawa fans, you suck." And it's just like, okay, well, that's fine. Whatever. It's normal. We hear that all the time. That's okay. And a couple of people ahead of us in line turned around and apologized.
Impressive.
It was incredible. It's like, you don't need to take that. It's like, are you kidding me?
We're not all jerks. Yeah.
No, I understand that, but I understand a little ribbing here or there.
I didn't mind it.
I didn't mind it at all, but they apologized. It was incredible.
Hey, Toronto fans, learn something from this.
Instead of this is your house. Yeah, just go the hell home because we only have one lane of highway. Anyway, so
they were totally a little bit cooler impressed. There, but fine. Sorry? No problems. No problems at all.
No, nothing.
Like the ushers nothing. Were friendly with us. He was actually asking us about Ottawa, and that's kind of cool.
Yep. Kind of made fun of the Heritage jersey a bit, but
yeah, that's good. It's all good.
Just explaining the whole breakdown of what it is and all of that too. Concessions, as you guys know, I always go for my hot dog and Coke Zero. There I got the commemorative cup, so like the little plastic thing. And I think I paid $13.
Ouch.
I believe I got, I think that one was just a regular.
Because what would that be at the Canadian Tire Center?
Didn't really enjoy
Center.
That as much. That's really being nitpicky. Sorry?
Yeah,
what was that?
Yeah, your audio clipped out there, so we didn't hear your explanation. But if you're doing a comparison, what would that cost here at Canadian Tire Center?
I think it's $9.50 for my hot dog and Coke Zeros. Coke Zeros in a bottle.
Okay.
But because I got the commemorative cup, it's free refills.
Oh.
Okay.
So you can just go back and back and back. I didn't want to do that. I already had to keep the Tums in the trunk because I had too much pop. But so that way you can really, really bring down your costs and makes it quite affordable if you think about it. So that I was impressed with. I truly enjoyed the experience at the Kings game.
And after the game, talk about the drive home.
Oh, actually, the other thing, remember when Ottawa was coming back and the fans were just getting mad?
Yeah, they were getting mad.
Holy jeez, that was something else. Drive home, okay, where were we, LA?
LA, and we...
This is a lot of what I said all week.
Staying in Anaheim.
staying in Anaheim.
LA to Anaheim, put in perspective, it'd be like driving across the entire GTA.
Right. So by the time that we got back to the hotel, would be around... So we left one city. Right after the game, didn't beat the Rush or anything. drove all the way to another NHL city, arrived at the hotel, everything was fine. In the same amount of time that it takes me to get home from the Canadian Tire Center back to the east end of town.
Yeah.
TJ, I'm not trying to scare you with that. But and you guys know that I like to rant. I think I went on for a good half hour afterwards.
Yeah. You're like, what? We're here already?
Well, come on!
Anyway. There was no big backups. We get out. I mean, we left at the buzzer, but we could get to the car right away. We could get out on the road right away. It was there's not this one clog of roads where everybody has to go out a certain way.
But you mean instead of you having an east-west parking lot?
At the Canadian Tire Center, as Pans pointed out, like all the parking is basically on the east side of the arena. You can't really park on the west and the north side. Okay, teeny tiny bit in the south, but it's pretty much an east parking lot. So that means everybody's got to go out from that direction. Whereas in other arenas, you can park all around it in different spots. So not everybody's trying to go through the same funnels. So it really made a big difference. We just on the freeway and boom, to Anaheim.
Nice.
That's all I got for LA.
Okay, let's get on to the next game because that one took a while. Wow. It's going to be I don't want an hour long or an hour and a half.
Well, we're not talking about the game recap, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's different.
Okay, fine.
Good, I do appreciate it. How quickly you're going through your summaries. It's awesome.
Yep. Well, I'm trying. Game four. I didn't write down who was in and out because, again, I was still rather under the weather with this particular one. However, this is the game that I think one of the two games you're going to want to talk about.
Neil was in,
yes, because this is the one. This is the one I think you're going to want to talk about. This is the first period. 55 seconds in, the young sensation hurdle scores. So it's 1-0, and I'm sure the crowd around you probably went a little crazy because that was the game after he'd already scored a hat trick.
Well, four.
So. Oh, four. Sorry, that's right.
Yeah.
Four,
yeah.
Including that really sick one, which got a lot of people bent out of shape, and the other half of the NHL was going, "Hey, whatever." And actually, there was an interesting interview with Logan Couture after that game. He was on, I think it was the radio, and he was saying, well, you know, New York was getting kind of bent out of shape by that goal. And, you know, well, they were getting bent out of shape. It was already 8-2. They're embarrassing. We're embarrassing you with that goal. I think you were embarrassing yourself by the way you were playing the game. Don't want to get embarrassed?
That?
Yeah, on the radio.
Wow.
Play better defense.
It's a really interesting interview with Joe Thornton after that event, too.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
All right, so hurdle scores. It's 1-0, 55 seconds into the game.
And up in my fantasy pool, too.
The Senators fan base is going, oh, no, here we go again. And then at 7:41, Chris Neal gets into a fight. Is this the fight you want to talk about, Pan?
About 7:39?
7:41,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just rewinding, and I don't think this was on TV. I was asking someone about that too. So one thing with this game, and we're going back to who's in and out. Dako in, get off my team. Cassian out. So this was, it was between whistles, right, Canuck?
I'm not sure where you're going yet, so you're going to have to steer
it. So this is where he was just picking on the winger and the faceoff Don. And just pushing. And just ends up cross-checking the guy. And this is between whistles. So the linesman break them up, but I was shocked that he didn't take a penalty for it. Remember this?
Not that specifically, but I do remember us yelling at Neil to get back on the bench because he was just trying to get a penalty or something. He was being an idiot on the ice.
Yeah, just picking fights. Just a dumbass.
It didn't make sense.
Yeah. Anyways, and then right after that, he gets into the fight with the Sharks guy. They're only tough guy.
The Sharks player?
The Sharks, well, Pelish. I don't know the West guys. So it's almost like a staged fight. And apparently that's like giving a rise to the bench and all that's whatever. I don't know. Anyways, so that's one thing that we noticed is that Chris Neal was actually putting the team at risk of getting a penalty and going shorthanded.
The whole game.
In my opinion.
The whole game, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll continue on that.
I think,
as the game continues on. So that's just one thing I want to point out that people I don't think saw on TV. And normally I don't remember Chris Neal getting that aggressive with things either.
No, he was overplaying his role. He didn't
remember Cassian out.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Colonel.
Okay, so later on in the period, at the 15:21 mark, Zach Smith scores. And it's now 1-1 with assists to Phillips and Greening. And 3 minutes later, it's a power play goal for Bobby Ryan. It's 2-1 Ottawa with assists to Spezza and Weirkosh. So we actually get out of the first period with a lead. This is good news. The beginning of the second period, I wrote down the Sens were on fire. They actually had the first 5 shots on goal in the period. And they're playing very, very, very well.
They were.
Which was a bit of a shock compared to how they started the first period. So I remember being very pleased about that. Unfortunately, later on in the second period, started getting into penalty trouble again. I didn't write them all down because they were all minors, but they were getting sent to the box quite a bit. Quite a bit. And eventually it bit them at 16:12. It's a power play goal for San Jose by Patrick Marleau, and it's now 2-2.
Don't you hate it when the Sharks bite back? Yeah!
Thank you for picking that one up. I was hoping somebody would get it. I'm like, I'm throwing it out there. In the third period, San Jose put the boots to Ottawa in a big way. 7:08 mark, Burns scores to make it 3-2. But at the 10-minute mark of the third period, the shots, which had been 16-14 for 1 point in the second period, they were 16-14 for the Sens. At the 10-minute mark of the third period, they were 41-20 for San Jose.
Oh, at the end of the game, I got a comment on that. I think this is the first game I noticed where I was watching the shot clock, and I think it's someone in the home team that keeps track of it, and there'd be a shot would come in. Is it Niemi? Goalie for... Come in, he'd catch it, stop it for a whistle. Shot never wouldn't go up. Oh, yeah, I'm sure they miss a few. So I'm not saying that, you know, that the shots weren't lopsided, because they were. But I just want to throw that out there, that there could be some fudging in the numbers with some of these shots. Yeah, they were shelled. Robin Leonard did awesome, but just throwing that out there.
Okay, well, the shots in the third period were by the Sens, 5. And for San Jose, 24. For a final shot count of 50-23. Now, what was the game experience like in this building?
Actually, I think this is one of my favorite games that we went to for the experience in arena. Would you? You think so, Pan?
For the experience?
Yeah. Well,
I enjoyed it. I think the line of vision wasn't as great as... Okay, I don't sit back there. I think it's similar to your seats again. Oh, yeah. Thanks, TJ, by the way. I forgot what city we were in.
Well, this is another one of those experiences. We landed in San Francisco, and TJ, listener TJ, the guy who gets accused of hating a lot, actually picked us up at the airport. We did a little quick tour of San Francisco and then headed down to San Jose. We actually ate dinner at this San Pedro Market, just a very short walk from the arena. A really phenomenal, again, atmosphere, somewhat near to the arena. They've done a really good job at creating a nice pregame place to go and eat, and it happened to be Oktoberfest celebrations going on there too, so that was pretty cool.
Lots of fun. Very, very unique. I enjoyed it a lot.
Now, what's this building like? This is the what used to be the HP Pavilion, isn't it?
The SAP Center.
Yeah.
SAP Center, that's right.
The SAP Center.
It was probably the same vintage of, you know, age as the Canadian Tire Center, I think. Actually, as we're going in there, we ran into a bunch of, like, a family all wearing Weirkosh jerseys. And that's got to be family. And at the top of the escalators, actually grab them and say, you must be family. Because, I mean, what are you seeing? Like 4 Weirkosh jerseys coming into an away game. You, you can see maybe.
That's a clue.
So, and it's a, yeah, and it was his parents and then a couple friends. And they even asked me, are you part of the Anderson family? And I'm like, no. The arena is quite nice.
Yeah, yours is twin.
This one, I think, had probably the widest hallways, would you say? Oh, no. No, it didn't. No.
Was that for the parking?
No, I'm talking about inside the arena. Actually, inside the arena, there was kind of a cluster bomb with any of the concessions. It was pretty ridiculous. But one thing I did like...
Oh, my God.
This is the arena that had the bathrooms. Instead of having like little small bathrooms all around the arena, they had like maybe less, but they were big ones. So it was pretty impressive. There's that same kind of lineup. We only go to the men's, obviously. But the same kind of lineup into... going into the washroom, but it would just go really, really fast. And as you get in there, you realize that this place just keeps going back and back and back and back. So you can get a good throughput of people.
Now, do they have hot water?
Yeah, every place so far had hot water.
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else about the in-game experience, like ongoing music?
I think the biggest thing with San Jose Arena was one thing I really liked is, and you see this on TV, is every time they get a power play, they play the Jaws theme, you know, dun, dun, dun. And everybody gets their hand gestures out and does the Jaws opening and closing with their hands. It actually had a really neat effect watching that. Pretty cool.
Why not? Okay.
What ticket costs, Pan, do you remember? I think it was about 30 some dollars where we sat.
Yeah, I think it was more like 36.
Still pretty good.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
It's still pretty damn reasonable.
Yeah, and apparently because TJ's nephew went and picked them up at the box office, and that ended up saving $8. I don't understand why walking up and going to the box office where they have a human costs less. And they have to pay for the paper and the printing and everything. Cost less than us getting a PDF.
Because it's easier to charge the other way around. Because more people are going to want to do it. Yep. So they can make more money by putting the charge on what everybody wants to do.
Yeah.
As dumb as it sounds, they want to make that they put the charge on the thing that people will want to do the most. Because that's where the most revenue for the service charge is. Doesn't make any sense. It's about revenue.
Now, Pan, you did have a Coke and Hot Zero, or Hot Dog and Coke Zero, right?
A Hot Zero.
A Hot Zero.
Yeah! I thought we weren't supposed to talk about that. I had it at San Pedro, I think.
Yeah.
That was neat. Oh, man. Actually, we can talk about the people there. We're bouncing around a bit here.
It's okay.
So I went to the it was kind of like a food court, but not really. It's just really, really unique places.
Like a market.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Hence the San Pedro market.
Move along.
Yeah. So I ended up getting, there's a specialized hot dog. Reminded me as close to Japa Dog in Vancouver. For those of you who know that, but it's just really different styles of hot dogs and whatnot. So I got that. They give you a buzzer for when your order's ready. A couple of different places like that too. And we ended up talking to a couple of fans in lineup, and of course Sharks fans. And one of them just went on and on and on about Milan Mikolic. I was like, freaking take him back. But yeah, they know their team. They know quite a bit about the opposition. Very friendly. Wanted to know about us, about the what we've found of the trip and other things like that too.
I thought they had the best fans. By the way, there's a lot of Senators fans in Senators jerseys at this game too.
Yeah, I think San Jose's got a lot of expats there.
Yeah, the whole high tech
Silicon thing. Valley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so that had a huge connection there. And then one guy, he ended up, who sat next to us in the while we were eating, he got a poutine, or poutine, really, is the way that you say it. And his buddy was just like, what the hell is a poutine? Like, don't worry, you got a Canadian here. So yeah, just it's like, you know, gravy fries. I was like, no. Bagel fries with gravy. Yeah. Okay, put cheese on it.
There you go.
There, it's delicious. Give it a shot. So I don't know. There's a couple of things that I found that I was very Canadian on the trip. I tend to ask where the washroom is.
Yeah. What's a washroom? You mean restroom?
Yeah. Restroom.
I've learned this one going to the States a lot.
Sounds hard. Yeah, my favorite's also, can you break this five into loonies?
Yeah. What? Hey, newsflash, Americans. You're probably not going to wash in there. Well, I hope you do afterwards, but you're not going to rest. So get over yourself. Toilet. The toilet.
Where's the can?
I thought the collops were supposed to stay out of the can. You're not supposed to be in there.
Well, perhaps we should have went in more.
Canuck goes to the can.
Yeah. Should have went more, I guess. But
yeah. So no, I really enjoyed San Jose a lot. Something I missed on the building was the stairs on the way in. I didn't really notice this. B-Red kind of showed it to me after, where all the stairs were painted.
Yeah, they had the Sharks logo.
The Sharks logo,
yeah. Apparently, they've done that at Canadian Tire Center with the Fearless campaign. The stairs on the way up to the 300 concourse. Good. So,
good idea. Terrible. Just go with Pesky anyway.
Yeah, it's nothing like having a good. Finally, have a motto that everyone's rallying around and not making fun of with Pesky Sands. Oh, let's change it. Fearless.
Well, anyway. They had a different one last year, and Pesky took over. So
yeah, because Pesky was a team. It was a Players that came up with it, I think.
It was a Players and some bits of media and social media. Yeah,
and I was listening back, and I know Russell actually called them Pesky a couple of years ago.
Yep.
So maybe Russell started this all.
Okay, Russell, you get the credit. You don't get any money for it because you didn't copyright it, but you get the credit.
Podcasting.
I really like San Jose. That even when we lost, and it was a friggin' close game. Geez, we digress from your game recap. I don't know if you want to go back.
Did we finish the game recap?
We finished the game recap. Thanks for paying attention. Yeah, we did.
What I remember is like a minute left to go. We're down by a goal and Neil's trying to start a fight again. Like, what the?
Against Scott Hannon.
Like, what are you doing? Win the game.
Win the game. Scott Hannon knows what he needs to do. Yeah. Like, he was absolutely out of position, caused a longer delay on the delayed offside. It was ridiculous. Like, win the game, it's one goal game.
The shots were not close, but the goals were. And it was a close finish, as those who stayed up to watch it. And the Shark fans around us were all breathing a sigh of relief. They're like, whew, that was a friggin' good game, guys. You know, you should be proud, you know. So.
Yeah. You know, I think, was it this game? No, it was the next one. Never mind. Once again, it's just all a friggin' hubbub right now.
All right.
I've only got two more games left this week, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so can we go? Should we go to, shall we move to Anaheim? Or
No. Wait, yep. Keep going. I forgot that we just talked about Chris Neal trying to pick a fight.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
All right. So the last game of your road trip, there was one more on the road trip. The last one of yours would be game fives, which was the Sens at the Ducks. Again, I didn't write down who was in and who was out. Sorry. Doesn't really
Cassian
matter.
Cassian in, Dacko out, get off my team. Andy in.
Anderson starts.
Yes. Yeah, this game started off pretty positive. 27 seconds into the game. Rather than 55, they're cutting down the time that they allow a team to play before they score on them. So 27 seconds into the game, Corey Perry scores, and it's 1-0 Anaheim. And I'm pretty sure the building probably went a little crazy right about then. 27 seconds into the game.
Yeah, it was throwback night, too.
Like that's right. They were in their really, really old Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, calling themselves the Mighty Ducks. And even they're announcing it. Mighty Ducks goal. They had the whole original team in and everything.
All the graphics and everything.
Yeah, wow. All the old school graphics.
Yeah.
Cool. And then 3.5 minutes later, or 2.5 minutes later, 3.5 minutes later, Ryan Getzlaff, the other half of the dynamic duo, scores, and it's 2-0 Anaheim, and cue the goodnight Craig Anderson music and the hello Robin Leonard music.
I was mad at that.
Yeah, you were.
They were shelling, like he was actually keeping them in the game. Like they're getting shelled and he was making good stops. That was not his fault. When they pulled him, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. What the hell are you doing?
It was a team shakeup and that didn't really work.
Yeah, yeah, well, I don't think that was
a reflection on Anderson at all.
How are you going to take that? Like, I'm the only one showing up to play here, guys, and you get two past me, so you're pulling me? You should pull the whole team. I don't know.
Exactly.
I didn't like it. That my first reaction. I did not like it. I thought, uh-oh, here we go again. We're starting another controversy where someone's got a short leash. And hopefully McLean knows what he's doing. He's freaking won the Jack Adams last year. So
exactly. And the period went on, and 19 minutes and 12 seconds of the first period, Bobby Ryan scores again from Torres and Corvo. So at the end of the first period, it's 2-1 for the Ducks. And in spite of
this, I got some audio on that Bobby Ryan goal. Apparently he was mic'd. I didn't realize it, but let's cue that up here.
What a play! What a pass! Of course, eh? That's it. Hey, way to hold on to that puck. Yep. Go, White. Come on, boys. Let's get it going. Come on. Let's go here.
That's it, boys.
So you can hear where the Sens had to probably duck out the audio because he's probably swearing.
I was wondering what was going on there.
Yeah,
it's kind of like hanging out with me during that game too, wasn't it?
You were pissed at this game.
I think I messed up. I was pissed.
Yeah. Now, by the way, we were at the game with Kathy Cardinal. She actually met us there at the arena and was sitting there with us. So really cool to meet another listener. But yeah, Pan was next to me and oh my goodness.
I did not make a good impression of myself.
I couldn't console you at all. You're mad.
Yeah.
The whole game.
Yeah. I think I've blacked out, so I don't remember. Well, it's all merged too. Everything was driving me nuts. The girl in front of me stands up. She got cursed out. Don't stand up in the middle of the play. Don't leave during the middle of the play. Don't come back during the middle of the play. Anyway.
How about that scoreboard at the Honda Center, too?
Oh, my God.
That is, like, as bad or even maybe even worse than our old one. So
not good.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I know it was throwback night, but holy hell.
Yeah, they took the new screen out and put the old one back in just for throwback night.
Yeah, it was awful. Wow. Were the seats plat? No, the seats were not great.
The outside of the building was really nice. Like, it's, you know, nice to see palm trees and stuff around, so that's cool. Nice building from the outside, but I thought the inside felt, well, truth be told, I think the layout, the way the seating was arranged was very much like the Canadian Tire Center, except you didn't have the 400 ring where you could go up and walk around the top or have the 400 level boxes. It just stopped at that point.
That's right. Ooh. Yep.
Excuse me.
It kind of looked like an old building there.
Yep.
Very dark too.
Really? Like in the concourse or actually in
the arena where we were, where we were sitting.
Huh.
So now, I think that's for visualization contrast.
So where you're sitting was dark, but the ice was well lit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I think I know why Pam was so pissed at this game is because he could not get a Coke Zero and a hot dog. They had Pepsi there. That's what it boils down to, isn't it?
That might be it.
And it was really cool because they entered the league in 93, right? Or 98?
Yeah.
93, yeah. 20 years celebration. It was their 20 year since their first win or whatever. And everything, like not everything, some things were being sold for 93 cents. You could go get a fountain pop for 93 cents. You could get a popcorn for 93 cents. So it's kind of neat. Just it was just a special event that day.
Their ceremony was 93 seconds long.
Oh, yeah. We had to catch a plane. We had to catch a red eye back to Ottawa, back at LAX after this Anaheim game. So we were thinking, you know, okay, like we're going to have to watch the clock here. It's a 5 p.m. Pacific start. We probably should be getting the road, hitting the road by 8. So we knew, you know, if this game goes long, we may have to duck out. We don't want to, but we'll watch it.
Yeah!
Duck out! Yeah.
Oi.
Oh, that's good. But, and then we found out there's going to be the ceremony introducing the original team. But they didn't do the Montreal thing and wait till everybody comes on the ice and the anthem sung and then take an hour. They actually were doing it while the time was counting down before, you know, like the Zambonis had finished and there's still maybe like 5 minutes left on the clock as it's ticking down, and they did it then. And then they came out for the ceremonial puck drop, but that was it. Like it was
nice.
It was efficient.
Got to the point, got it done too.
Yeah.
And they had to introduce a good 15 guys, if not more.
Yeah, including Ron Tugnutt, Sean Van Allen.
Ron Tugnutt, Sean Van Allen, Sean Hill.
Yeah.
I didn't remember.
I loved.
I forgot Tugnutt. Van Allen had played there. Yeah. Cool. That's a smart idea. More teams should do that, especially if they could do their ceremonies before the actual broadcast starts so the rest of us don't have to endure them. That'd be nice. Anywho.
Yeah, like the the Sens did that a couple years ago, right? Unless it was last year. I don't know. Everything's blending in, but with the 20-year celebration and all that fun stuff.
That was two.
And they would have a couple. Okay. Yeah, and they would have just old players show up to the games, and they do it during the TV timeouts and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, introduce them. They'd stand up, have a wave, place.
I enjoy that.
Yeah. Good idea. Yeah.
It was good.
Excellent.
After this, I don't remember. We got shell-shocked in this game.
Well, I'll run through the rest of the rest of the summary pretty quickly. It's pretty simple. Anaheim scored twice in the second period, and they outshot the Senators 21-7. In the third period, there was no scoring, and actually the Senators outshot the Ducks 12-11, but the final shots on goal were Anaheim 56 and Ottawa 31. The only bright spot of this entire game, and there was only one that I could find as a Sens fan, was the goal that Bobby Ryan scored at 19-12 of the first period was his 150th goal in the NHL.
So to sum up these three games that we went to,
it's more like, I think the Sens got lit up.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately.
Well, another bright spot is Leonard, though.
Oh.
Yeah, he played pretty well.
He stood on his head and everything. He was unbelievable. The guy in front of us even turned around. Who is this Leonard guy? I think it was San Jose. He said, actually said that. But...
No, I think that was in Anaheim. Yeah, it was right after the blocker save on the crossbar when he was just down and out.
Yeah.
He had a couple just incredible saves. And it's got to be so demoralizing of making these saves and knowing that your team's just screwing around in front of you.
Yeah, must be difficult. But yeah. He played well.
Ryan got a few boos when he was touching the puck. I don't know if that came across on TV, but he was getting a little bit booed.
Oh, no, that was I was listening to it on the radio. I wasn't watching it on television, except for
no
the third
tribute
period.
To Bobby Ryan either?
No.
Oh, I'm staggered.
I don't know.
I'm shocked beyond words.
Hey, no. Shit, if we've got to give one to Kovalev.
Did we?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
I don't remember him coming back, though. Just...
Didn't he come back with... Did he actually come back with Florida? Or did he get retired? Or get...
get forced.
Got retired. Bye. Can't remember. Anyway. So that was game 5. Now you have the notes for game 6, which is actually the one game on this road trip that you guys didn't see. And it was the one real bright spot of the entire road trip.
That's all right. We had fun.
We did. You might think, oh, they lost, you know, I feel sorry for you. No, we had a blast.
The two games are great.
Yeah.
And it's good to vent your frustrations in Anaheim.
Well, that works for you. If it makes it so you can sleep on the plane on the way home.
Good Jesus. Good. Oh, no. You know what else I want to say about the Anaheim game?
No.
Minute and a half left. What was the score? 4-1?
At least.
Neil goes out in the last minute or so and tries to win the game.
Yes. He was actually out there trying to win the game when they're down by 3 goals. But if they're down by 1 in the dying minute, he wants to try to pick a fight.
And I think there's at one point where I basically just said, I'm going to rip the A off of his shirt and give it to no one.
Yeah, I believe I got that as a text.
He was selfish. Anyway, I think we've got to put it on that too. Okay, this one's going to be a little bit fun for us. So Sens at Coyotes. So Andy's back in, Cassian in, Greiba in. Corvo out, Dako on his way out.
Get off my team.
For the Yotes, Klinkhammer is in, and that's about all that matters. So the game starts, and we don't get scored on in the first 5 minutes, so that's just friggin' phenomenal versus the last 3 games. Lots of drives to the net, and Ryan becomes a shot machine, much more than the offensive threat of Rob Klinkhammer, of course. Trist gets driven into Smith by Doan. Some good face washing on the ice, and Trist gets called for interference. Close up on McLean at the 14-minute mark, and he is not fuming, which is great. At the end of the first, shots are 12-4 for Ottawa. What? Finally. Second period, early in the second, Klinkhammer posts his third of the season, proving that he's as good as anyone on the Senators roster. Free Mika. Bravada gets another quick one, snapping it high on Anderson. Spezza dangles, back passes to Smith and puts it in the empty net to break the shutout for the outstanding Smith. Konecker apparently just starts bleeding from the nose and not getting hit by a high stick. No call.
Typical.
However, refs quickly make a very, very loose interference makeup call to Bonkerman.
Oh, really, that was terrible.
That was awful. Well, we didn't see that, but we know that it happened. So you're
It's like that old Subway commercial. Where the football ref comes out. I totally blew that call. In fact, wasn't even close. But don't worry. I'm going to make it up by calling against the other team in the third quarter.
I forgot about that. That was awesome. Third period, early in the third, Spezza doubles up Klinkhammer's stats and evens out the score. 2-2 for the Sens. Another wired shot, and Spezza gets a natural hat trick, Alfie who, behind Smith, who's just way out of the crease doing God knows what. Phillips takes a pim for getting caught. Ekman-Larsson scores on the power play to tie up the game. Klinkhammer does not score. In overtime, a couple of huge saves by Andy, Doan with a big opportunity on a one-timer that Klinkhammer would have buried. Play comes down the other way, and Konecker, the little train, hammers the cross-ice pass in the net for the winner.
Winner.
Sens win overtime. Oh, I love Konecker.
He's pesky.
Yep. Better than Klinkhammer, too.
Oh, and suddenly, what was going to be a disastrous, disastrous road trip somewhat turns acceptable.
500 hockey.
sometimes it's now just acceptable. It's like, oh, they're 2-2-2. I guess.
Well, it's okay. Symmetrical, so that's good. And it's 500, which is also good.
Oh, I'm going to say it. Like, forget Phoenix. They were a disaster. This is a disastrous opening to the season, and they need to shape it up. And it's probably transfers next into your next topics because, good God. Actually, it looked like the game in Phoenix was the game that they deserved to win, and it looked like they were going to lose it, which sometimes happens, right? Sometimes a streak lasts longer than it should, but.
Oh, especially with win streaks, but losing streaks as well, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have much to say about this particular game, but for my comment over the trip overall is, if I had to pick out one thing, and I mean, you guys saw these games live. I was listening to them on the radio or watching them on TV or having to get, you know, a summary on them later because I missed a couple of them because I was under the weather, was this team just doesn't win faceoffs right now.
No.
Two big problems right now is faceoffs and defensive sucking. Zone coverage and sucking.
Yeah, defensive zone. The first pass out or the breakout or getting it out of our own zone.
They're chasing around the other team in their own zone. And that
was it. Pageau had 3 minutes in the Anaheim game.
Yeah, people blame Pageau on this thing.
Like, well, he also had two faceoffs that he lost that ended up in goals because he couldn't even. He won the faceoff, but he couldn't control the puck afterwards. And they ended up being two goals.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to blame the wingers here, too.
I'm not blaming this terrible start on one player.
Oh, no. That's more just another sign of it. That's more of a sign of it.
But I can tell you that DaCosta does not belong.
No.
We watched the game in San Jose. I think he single-handedly did a turnover seven times on one shift. Yeah,
remember with TJ in the car?
Yes, and afterwards. We've been ripping on DaCosta the whole time. Just what did TJ say in the car?
Just watch him. Just watch him. He's always a step behind.
Yeah.
So and we leave after the game, we're driving back. And then TJ just turns to me and says, who's number 24?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ding.
God awful.
Thank you.
God awful.
Well, I mean, the other problem is Rob Klinkhammer has more goals than everybody on the team except Bobby Ryan and Jason Spezza.
Oh, by the way, Pan, how was the drive home from? How was the drive home from San Jose in Anaheim?
I don't remember San Jose.
The point being was we went from one city to another city.
Okay, yeah, so San Jose. What was it? We stayed in San Francisco.
Yeah, by the airport.
After San Jose, that took 50 minutes. So still less time than me to get home.
Oh, it wasn't even that long.
What was it? And then Anaheim. I really don't remember.
All the way back to LAX.
So from Anaheim on a Sunday night, Anaheim back to LA. We go through customs, drop off the bags, drop off the rental car. We're cleared by the time that I get home.
Yeah. Customs or not customs, security?
Security.
Okay.
Security, yeah.
Not bad.
This road construction is awesome.
Hey, but we got a new ramp. Did you hear? We got a new off ramp for the buses.
For the bus.
Yes, for the buses.
Who never were? They weren't even holding up traffic anyway. But
no, but it'll make it. It may actually. They were talking about that. I was going to bring that up in a few minutes. But I think that if they can get the buses to out of the parking lot more quickly, because right now they're stuck with all the cars, and they go all the way out to. They go all the way up past the car dealerships to get onto the 417. And if they can get them out of the parking lot quickly, like they're estimating it's going to be between 15 and 17 minutes saved on the bus trip. And if that's the case, well, then possibly more people will be taking them. Because even as the bus sits now, I've taken the bus, and I mean, I live in Centertown, and I've taken the bus a couple of times, and it's just as fast as driving, if not faster.
Very much so.
And I usually park in the lots on the south side of Palladium Drive, not right up close to the building like you do, Ben. I'm on the other side of the street, on the south side of the road.
The 4 and 5?
I don't know what numbers they are. They're the ones on the south side.
Yeah.
I usually park over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's...
Well, it depends when you get there, too.
I park... My rule of thumb is I park as close to the exit of the parking lot as I can.
Yep.
I don't care how far I have to walk, because I can walk between cars faster than I can drive between them.
Yes. Exactly.
So, but taking the bus,
I don't like taking the bus home. It's you have to rush after, and I don't like the kids that are hammered, especially when it's a Leaf game.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I got lucky because I was at it for, I think it was a Montreal game and a Winnipeg game and something else, and it was fine. And it's cheap. It's cheaper than paying for parking. And I can have beer at the game if I want, and I get home faster. It's brilliant. It's a lot less stressful, too.
Hey, before I forget, I want to say a big thank you to TJ and Kathy for their hospitality in their cities. That was really cool to put some faces to those names. And also Paul at PaulHD on Twitter. And I apologize, I can't remember what your handle is in the forums, but he was at the game in San Jose as well. I got a chance to meet him the first intermission. Really cool people. Nice to kind of meet listeners like that, especially in, you know, foreign cities like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I really wish that we could have taken that tour that Paul offered, but then scheduled and worked out.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, though. Maybe next year.
Next time. Exactly. Well, we're going to get a chance to hopefully meet a couple more listeners. Well, either you'll meet them at the game tomorrow or on Saturday. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to that.
Ivan and Ducky?
Well, I met Ducky. I've never met Ivan
tomorrow.
Before. Yeah.
Yeah, Ivan's in tomorrow, and Puddle Duck's coming on Saturday, and Ivan's still going to be here.
Yeah, it'll be good. Be good indeed. Just a couple of quick things. Since we were just talking about the new bus ramp, they were talking also today about not only the bus ramp, but there's also all the road construction out by Scotiabank Place on the 417. And yes, the new lanes have been paved, but the road isn't actually going to be open widened for another year because now they have to rebuild the roadbed under the old ones. So it's going to be another year of only two lanes out there before they can have them all open. Sorry about that.
Where is this?
The lanes of the 417 all the way out to Scotiabank Place. The ones that are
how many did we have before? Two?
Two
in each direction.
That's just two and two. That's fine.
Yeah.
Well, the rest of the city's in friggin' shambles right now.
Well, there will be three eventually, but not yet. And the other piece of off-ice news for the Senators today was the Senators announced that they've hired the entertainment director who's been taking care of the Bell Center for the Habs. A fellow by the name of Paul Gallant, who will be who's been brought in to try and liven up the in-game experience, which is something that there have been lots of complaints about over the years, that it's just not very interesting. So, I mean, we slag on the Habs all the time for their 17-minute or 17-hour torch-passing ceremonies, which they do for absolutely everything, because they don't seem to have an original idea. But the rest of the in-game experience in the Bell Center is pretty good. So hopefully that this can rub off on the Senators and it can be improved as well. Not just the whole bilingual side of things, but just make it a bit more interesting, exciting, engaging, whatever.
Hey, maybe we can get him on the show.
Maybe so. I have to look into that. Maybe give him a couple of weeks to settle into his gig first.
No.
Let's sandbag him early. That could be fun. Now, I was thinking the other day, which I only do occasionally, which is
good
why
job.
So I thought I'd announce that. I only do it once in a while. I think the big rig might now need to be renamed to the medium rig.
It's going to be the retired rig.
Well, he's listed at 6'3 and 220, which when he came into the league, what, 16 years ago?
Yeah. When he was an offensive threat?
He was never an offensive threat. He had offensive upside. I've never said he's an offensive threat. He had an offensive upside. Don't put words in my mouth. But he has an offensive ability, but he was turned into a shutdown guy. But at 6'3", 220, he was a big, solid defenseman. And among the bigger ones in the league, quite frankly. He's now fourth on this team. Depending on if you're going by height, he's actually tied for fourth or tied for fifth. Because Cowan's 6'5", Greiba's 6'4", Mathot's 6'3", and Wierkosz is 6'5". But Wierkosz is only 206 pounds. So he might
need not genetically modified food, though.
Oh, he's a good farm boy. But
yeah, you got two of them out there with Cowan and Greiba from Saskatoon, I think. Saskatoon or Regina? They're from Saskatchewan.
They're from Saskatchewan. I just had it too.
Grand Prairie?
Nope. It's a smaller town, but I can't think of what it is off the top of my head. It'll probably come to me in two or 3 hours when I'm trying to sleep. Anyway, he might just be the medium rig now. Never know. Quick recap about bingo and prospects. Then we can talk about, there's lots of other stuff around the league to talk about, but just a quick recap. Bingo is 2-1 on the season so far. A couple of quick player updates. Zibanejad is a goal and assist. Derek Grant has two goals. Shane Prince was a healthy scratch in game 3 of the season, which was a bit of a surprise.
Wasn't he hurt though?
Nope. He was a healthy scratch.
Huh.
And according to Luke Richardson, he said Shane Prince had a fantastic camp in Ottawa. He had a great camp in Bingo. And in the first couple of games, it seems there was a bit of a letdown or step backwards in his effort and competition level. I don't think it was a conscious thing, but kind of needed to snap him out of it. And I'm sure he'll spring back. The message has been received. So hopefully it'll be okay. Hmm. The other sorry?
Just saying, he must have been hanging out with DaCosta.
Ooh.
Do you want to read Paul's email now? This might be a good time for it.
Yeah.
Well, I've just got two more quick updates from Binghamton.
Oh, okay.
And this will take like 30 seconds.
Sure.
Jim O'Brien down in Binghamton. Luke Richardson was actually saying he is he's being exactly what we're asking of him. He's being a good character guy. He's leading the younger players. He's got a very positive attitude about being down there. And he got a shorthanded goal to seal one of the win in the first or second game. I didn't catch which one it was. And the players went to the net and got the puck and gave it to him for his, you know, it's your special first goal back here award. And apparently Jim O'Brien laughed harder than any of the other players about it. So he was being quite realistic about the whole thing. He's not.
I think he's always been a really good team guy.
Yeah.
Like with that whole Twitter stuff with Hammer of Justice and all of that.
Yeah. He certainly put up with it.
The players like him, but it's the skill level he can't keep up with.
Yeah, I don't think he's an NHL player, but he's certainly being exactly what's asked of him down in Binghamton. And I mean, you can't really ask for more than that. So you're a veteran guy who's, you know, making NHL money in the AHL. Good on you. Just do as you're told, and that'll be fine. The update on Mark Stone is he's out of a sling, but he'll be reevaluated in about 2 weeks as to how long he's going to be out with the shoulder injury. And really quickly, Curtis Lazar in 5 games played, 5 goals. 5 assists plus 7.
Trade him.
Yeah, we don't need that. The two goalies, which I was keeping an eye on last season, Francois Brassard and Chris Dreiger, neither of them are having really good starts to the season. Not horrible, but not great. Brassard is 4-3-2 with a .361 goals against and an .888 save percentage. Not great, but it's early and it is junior after all. Chris Dreider is 2-3 with a 4.0 goals against average and an .877 save percentage. So again, not great, but it's early and it's junior. So yeah, no big surprise. Now, whose email did you want to read?
You've got this listed under you for Paul Sends Troubles.
Oh, yes.
This was to just stop the Twitter.
I figured I would read this one because I knew you guys would be talking a lot in the first part of this. So I give your voices a little break. All right. From Paul, subject Sens Troubles. Hey boys, like most Sens fans, I'm really disappointed and shocked with the team's play to begin the season. These players look like they never played together and a new system has been introduced to them. We know the system hasn't changed, and two new faces in the starting lineup, MacArthur and Ryan, doesn't count as a roster shakeup. If we remember last year, this team had the best PK in the league and was pegged really, really good defensively. This kind of play brought us to the playoffs, even with injuries to multiple key players. So, what the hell happened? Coaching staff didn't change, and we're getting the same goaltending, thank God for Leonard last weekend, because those games would have been Ranger-like. To me, this fiasco rests mainly on the Sens' inability to get out of the zone cleanly. Ever. This extends their time in the D-zone, tires out our guys who have nothing left when it's time for offense, or even a back check at the end of a shift. In my opinion, this ends up causing our forwards to make poor decisions in the offensive zone, and then odd man rushes ensue. So I guess I'm pointing the finger at our D's ability, or I should say inability, to get the puck out of the zone with the famous first pass. Then we get a domino effect of guys running around in the zone, which compounds to an even more difficult first pass. Bringing up Zibanejad, Grant, or whoever you want will not change any of this. If we can't get out of the zone, we can't get out of the zone. I will admit that Pageau is having a tough time adjusting and can't win a face-off or even block his man to save his life, as we saw in Anaheim. Playing him 5 minutes per game is not doing him any good. At this point, sending him down would be the right move. Like I said earlier, whoever comes up to replace him won't have any impact if the D-zone play is not addressed. To continue on the replacement talk, I watched 2 or 3 bingo games, and honestly, I believe Grant has played better than Zibanejad. I'm not saying that Zibat is playing badly, just that Grant is a better player. He's just that he's being... Sorry. Or that Grant is a better player. I'm just saying that Grant has played better. To me, Cowan has been the biggest disappointment. He always seems flat-footed and looks very slow. When he does a nice, rare play, or rare, nice play, he's always in the offensive zone, never in the defensive zone. Phillips is showing his age more than ever. Every time we get a nice pass from the D, it's either Wierkosz or Carlson, so not much to say against these guys, except Carlson can be a turnover machine from time to time. Greiba doesn't belong. Corvo and Mathot are playing okay. Not bad. Not good. All that being said, I have all the faith in the world that our coach... knows how to settle things down and will shortly. Again, in my opinion, changing personnel will not fix or change anything. It's more complex than a little phone call to Binghamton. Hopefully we see improvements sooner rather than later. I'm a bit tired of watching shooting galleries. Cheers. Go Sens, go. Paul.
Just to start off, Paul, you're wrong.
Oh, it's no, on.
I'm just bugging. So a couple of things with this, and I know I've tweeted this, and I think this is what really got him going, but...
It's the whole Free Mika thing.
Yeah. It's Free Mika. That's
in of itself, really. I actually don't disagree with Paul at all. He was challenging our, you know, we would tweet Free Mika, and he's like, well, guys, that's not the only problem. And, you know, he just spread his email. No, I agree, but Free Mika.
Yeah, it's Zibanejad gives us a better opportunity versus Dako. DaCosta in because, yes, you're saying that the D can't get it out of the zone. When they have to pass it up to DaCosta and he turns it over four times in one shift, that means they have to recover it three times.
Yeah. It's not the only problem, but it's definitely a small change, which will help. Even if it's only a little bit, it will help. But absolutely have to work on their defense. They have to work on their face-off, their coverages. And I have full faith in the staff that this isn't going to continue all year. Thank goodness it's the beginning and not the end of the season.
Yeah. And the defense hasn't been playing great. Even where Kosh, like I know he's got the strong first pass, but he gets beat a lot. And they just have to figure it out. You're right. A lot of them weren't looking great at all.
Nope.
But if you pass the puck up and then they lose it immediately, it's not doing anything either. So that's one part here. And in regards to Grant and who to bring up and all of that stuff, the other reason that I'm going with Free Mika is that you don't have to change anything. Like, you can call Mika up. You don't necessarily have to send DaCosta back down because he'll need to clear waivers, and I'm sure that he will. But Zibanejad, I think, just bring him up. If something doesn't work, send someone else down or send him back down. There's nothing wrong with that. That he made the team by accident last year, right? Just so happened to be in town.
I'm in town for something else.
I'm tired of the stupid stuff going on where we watched the entire preseason. None of us expected Mika Zibanejad to be sent down. That was a shock.
Yeah.
So it's like, what? And then the team told us, well, you know, he didn't perform as well as what they thought. And
he got outplayed by DaCosta.
He got outplayed. Okay.
But the competition that they were seeing in the preseason wasn't necessarily NHL caliber either.
Yeah. And then suddenly, all these people that are upset at the Free Mika cause. They're like, well, he was outplayed, so he deserves to be sent down. Who cares? Get him back up here because he does belong with this team. And
this isn't high school and you don't get points for trying.
Yeah.
To get more information on this, though, what I ended up doing, and I didn't tell you guys about this, I emailed Ben out in Binghamton. So if we really want to know something about Binghamton, we tend to go to Ben a lot. Anyway, so I asked him in regards to this whole thing and after reading Paul's email. So yes, Paul, you've got some points, but I think it's just a quick fix to bring Mika up, put some pressure on the guys that aren't performing, because then they're going to sit and they're probably going to get sent down too, especially in someone like Pajo. Anyway, so Ben writes, and this is a little bit lengthy, but we'll try to go through this. So Grant's ability on the penalty kill is actually reminiscent of Eric Condra's AHL career. Derek has an uncanny knack for making unbelievable steals on the PK that frequently turn into goals. Grant is one of the main composers of her second line and now an assistant captain next to Mike Hoffman and Captain Mark Borowiecki. He doesn't show much of a size presence. However, 6'2" is the average on the team down here, so he's easily lost among the rest. But when Grant arrived in Binghamton, I was positively unimpressed. I was convinced that Grant would not get any better and that he was a hindrance to the team. His second full year with us last season, I completely ate my words. If anyone has worked hard to go from zero to hero, it's Grant, especially stepping up to take a leadership role on the team. With the only two true AHL veterans on our team being goalie Nathan Lawson and defenseman Tyler Eckford, Grant is getting named an A as his past few seasons is big. In the case of Zibad versus Dako, I'd have to say the superior one of the two with the right amount of practice is Mika. Stefan always had a brilliant, was always a brilliant forward in Binghamton, but I couldn't necessarily see him full-time in Ottawa, looking back at it now. Zibanejad, I was certain we weren't going to see right out of the gate, and if we were, it wouldn't be for long. To compare to other players again, I think when Murray told it straight that Mika didn't work hard enough in camp and had to earn it, it was the same kind of wake-up he needed that Robin Leonard was dealt in his time in the AHL. Leonard had zero discipline. It wasn't until last year he finally realized he wasn't going anywhere until he put the effort himself to improve for his team. There is nothing wrong with getting time to play the game. Just because money isn't as good doesn't mean you won't be playing just as hard, if not harder. Zibanejad is doing just that. He's trying to play harder. He's had a staple. He's a staple on our top line now and has pulled off some great plays. Namely, his first goal of the season in our home opener. D-man Chris Wyman handed him a pass at the top of the left circle, and Mika sent the puck searing past the goalie on a slap shot so hard that the goalie fell over. It was an amazing goal to witness, and replays don't do it justice. Mika knows what he has to do, I think. Him to Ottawa over DaCosta? Yes, that's my answer. DaCosta is good, but not NHL caliber. It is not unheard of to try stints in the NHL and come up unsuccessful, yet be a superstar in the AHL. I've seen several players come through Binghamton who are very well known for being just that. Minor league legends. Even if Stefan were to go overseas like he initially wanted to, unless he was content on a European career for the rest of his life, it wouldn't be much for him, I don't think. I think he can tough it out in the NHL all he wants, but Zibby is faster, Zibby has a better head for plays, and Zibby is more of a natural talent. Now then, JG Pageau. You could ask any BSens fan, and I think they could tell you they totally did not expect JG to make it to the NHL last that fast. Not even me. Pageau was my favorite player last season, almost immediately. Not just because of him being a diminutive rookie underdog, but because I could tell in his playing he was going to get better by season's end. And he did. I waited in my head in the past 10 seasons I've been a fan, and what I've seen in the past prospects, and I concluded one more year in the minor would have made JG a comfortable forward and shocking surprise to most teams. Akin to the Gionta brothers. JG started to throw his body later in the season, which is ballsy for a 5'6", 20-year-old on the ice. But his skating also got better, and so did his positioning as a result. If I can remember correctly, I don't believe Coach Luke regularly had JG on the PK unit. Eventually, he started to appear in the power play lines, but not until the 2/3 mark of the season, when Pageau started getting buffs in his stats. I'm convinced he stayed in the AHL for this season. He would have second place stats by the team or for the team by April. I was kind of expecting him to stay in Ottawa, but was no less shocked when it happened. So, who to wear? I'd say in a few months, reevaluate Grant. Grant will be NHL ready by season's end. Zibanejad will be ready by mid to 2/3 of the season once he learns to discipline himself correctly. What Murray expected is the same that he would for someone as touted as him. I don't understand that sentence. Prove you're ready instead of thinking you are. That being said, Murray slipped Zibby down because DaCosta worked harder in camp. Regular season clearly isn't the same. DaCosta will hate coming down and probably will refuse, but he's not suited for the big game. I say send down Dako and Pageau. Pageau not for bad reasons, but because he will be perfectly ready with one more full season in the minors. Grant, good for next year. Pageau, good for next year. DaCosta, probably not soon. Zibanejad, very soon. So that's about it. So it's a long email, but I think he had very, very good points in that. Because if you're sending Pageau down, we need someone to be able to play the penalty kill. The PK last year was very strong, but don't forget that Alfredsson was on the top pairing. Pageau has been doing that since last year, really. And we need someone that can be the defensive center. Zach Smith can also fit in on that. And also with this, Grant is a left-hand shot, which we need. I'd love to have two centers, and that'd be Grant and Smith instead of just having Smith, especially since Smith is getting pushed to the wing. Also with this, when we look at the size of the lineup, with Grant being 6'2", and Zibanejad's a big boy too, moving Pajot, who's small, moving Dacosta, who's small, and dealing with, you're not really dealing with, but having to, I guess, balance Connor Kerr's skill and hurt versus his size too, that's where I think myself that it gives the team an added advantage, a little bit more size down the middle, a lot more speed in regards to his advantage add, and better skill for getting some of the goals. So that's why I'm really pro to free Mika. I'm done.
I tuned out. No.
I was shocked I didn't get snappy during that. But I'm extremely passionate about this because the cost is out of his league.
I wouldn't disagree.
And he's playing top 6 minutes. That's just the thing. He's out of the league, but he's playing top 6 minutes.
Listen, like when Spezza was out, you couldn't try Zibanejad up there. This north-south is great. I don't know. Give the guy that's giving it a shot, but that was preseason. These games count. But thank God for goaltending.
Yeah, we're going to need it for the next little while. Anyway, I'm not saying I disagree with anything you've said, just for the record.
Yeah.
Of course, no, we're the call-ups.
We do disagree from time to time.
Yeah.
Usually via text.
Yeah. Clay Kammer is irrelevant.
Got more points, more goals.
We got 2 against Carolina. He's got 3 goals. You got one last night.
Playing on the top line. 3 goals.
Okay. You remember that when Colin Greening would play top line?
Yeah.
Clay Kammer might be like a Greening. He's an elevator boy.
Yep.
So he's running hot right now. I'll be shocked if he's not waived. But that's just me.
I just liked winding you up with it. That's all I was doing.
McCulloch for Clint Kammer, straight up.
Now what?
Let's step out of the Canadian Tire Center and have a look. There's lots of stuff going on around the league, which I thought we'd have a little bit of it. It's the first time you've done that, this podcast.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff going on around the league, which I thought we might have at least a quick chat about. And then we have a few more email, and then we can get the heck out of here. Were you guys surprised that the Flyers fired Laviolette after 3 games?
Yes.
Yep.
A little soon kind of thing?
I think that was probably a conflict of ideas between him and the GM.
Well, he's been there for 5 seasons. You'd think that would have been... Like, I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just that at 3 games. 3.
Obviously, his leash was very short.
Yeah.
But why did they even start... If his leash was that short, why did they start the season with him? Why didn't they just fire him beforehand?
I think they're just giving him a shot, see what it looks like. I'm not too concerned about Laviolette because I'm pretty sure he's going to be in charge of the Rangers in a couple of days anyway.
Well, Craig Berube is the new assistant. John Paddock moves from director of player personnel to assistant coach, which means
yep.
Ray Emery gets to play under John Paddock, and they might even implement win and you're in.
Right on.
And I mean,
the nice part about that is that it gives Ottawa a better chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at least Denis Savard made it to 4 games before he was fired as head coach and replaced by Quenneville, which is nice. It reminded me a little bit of Claude Julien being fired 3 games before the end of the season. Like, but dude, what are you doing? It was just so bizarre to see someone fired that early in the season. It really, really threw me for a loop. Patrick Waugh is certainly doing well with the Avalanche. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't pushed over any more glass walls, which is nice. He's controlling himself. That's good. They are certainly doing much better than anybody expected them to be doing. And so is Calgary. If you had told me that Calgary would be 3-0-2 after five games, I would have put money against that in a heartbeat.
That's a blue collar, eh?
Well, they're about to get the cold slap of reality because guess where they're going?
West Coast wing?
California. So, Sean Monahan is doing very, very well with them, but we'll see how that team looks after they get chewed up and spit out by the teams that the Senators just faced. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see how they come out of it. Patrick Kaleta was in the news the other day. One of my favorite players is...
You must have danced a jig.
I did. I think it was a war hoop followed by a jig. 10 games for his shoulder to the head of Jack Johnson. And by the way, that was the... He's been fined or suspended. Well, that was the sixth time in the past. Sorry. No, he's been fined or suspended six times already. This was the seventh in the last four seasons.
That's ridiculous.
And he played a grand total of 21 games since his last suspension.
Wow.
And the news came down this afternoon. He's going to appeal.
He's going to get an eight-game suspension.
Well, if he appeals this, I mean, your reaction was exactly what I expected it to be. 21 games since his last suspension, and he gets another one. And what did you say? Wow. Exactly right. Now, if he appeals this, and it's actually reduced by either Gary Bettman, or it goes to the independent third party, if I'm Brendan Shanahan, here's my resignation. Screw this. You want me to ensure player safety, and a known repeat offender and very dangerous player, I can't suspend him?
Yeah.
Hell, screw this.
How hurt is Jack Johnson?
He was okay. He continued to play, but that
he's
shouldn't
not gonna get
matter.
A thing then. This might go down, which will be an absolute joke.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just waiting for the day that when these guys just appeal for the sake of appealing, knowing they're going to get a reduction, Batman should just up it.
Well.
You know what? You got 10 after reviewing it, you're getting 12.
What did Downey get for the hit on McCammon? What was that? Five seasons ago? 20.
He got 20.
20.
And he obviously had no record because he was new to the NHL.
He had a record.
He had a
He had a reputation, but that doesn't count because he wasn't a.
I'm not sure if that was his first offense or not. I think you might be right. It was
in the NHL because that he never played in the NHL.
No, I think that was his first in the NHL. But yeah,
and he got 20.
20. Pretty sure it's 20.
Ridiculous. Buffalo's a joke. How are they going to do this with Coletta out now?
Well, who knows? But well,
good for us.
Yeah, Lapierre.
Oh.
He's been told he can have an in-person hearing if he wants one, which means it's probably going to be more than five. So we'll see how that one goes, especially if Coletta's appeal gets him anything. It could make Lapierre's even more interesting. That was the hit on Dan Boyle.
I'm with AJ Jakubek here. People don't pay money to go watch Coletta or Matt Cook or Maxime Lapierre.
Or Steve Ott or Carcillo.
Get these... Yeah. Rats, as he put it, and it's a good word, get him out of the league.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to take out the Stars.
Well, I think that there should be, pull the instigator rule off so that the moment that something like this happens, if it was to happen to somebody in Ottawa, the next time that Coletta's on the ice, someone like Chris Neal or Zach Smith or Matt Cassian just walks over and starts pounding on him. If he tries to turtle, pull him up and keep hitting him. Because I honestly don't know what will get through the head of these guys. I really don't. Because this just keeps happening. He's been fined or suspended six times, Coletta has, in the past four seasons, and he still keeps doing it. So who knows? The one thing, did you guys happen to see, I admit I forgot to send a link for this, and I do apologize. In the same game as the Lapierre hit on Dan Boyle, Burns had a hit from behind on Morrow. From about 6 feet out from the boards and just basically drove him headfirst into the boards. And I don't know if there was a penalty on it, but there's certainly been no talk of it getting any sort of supplementary action, which stuns me because it's a really ugly hit. I'm sorry, I forgot to send a, a link to show you that clip?
I don't know it.
Oh, it was ugly. Anyway, I'll try and...
What, inconsistent calls in this league?
Well, even if there was no call, I'm kind of shocked that there's been no, we're going to talk on the phone from Brendan Shanahan. I'm a little surprised that there's been just no talk about it at all. I guess after there's one bad hit in the game, the next one's a freebie. I don't know. Weird. Other news from around the league. I was looking at the other day. Edmonton's goaltending is just, well, what's the word I'm looking for? Horrific? Terrible? Oh,
non-existent?
Inconsistent?
Non-existent.
Oh, non-existent. No, no, no. Yeah. They're consistent, all right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Non-existent is probably a better word. Between Devan Dubnyk and Jason LaBarbera, Edmonton is paying $4.5 million in goaltending. That's $450,000 more than Anderson and Leonard.
Yeah.
Wow, have we got a deal.
What's funny is Pan and I were just, you know, shooting the breeze and thinking, you know, Edmonton needs a goalie. What if we just trade? I think we were going with Anderson. Trade Anderson for someone on their team, one of their top, you know, young picks that they probably can't keep. Like, say, Nail Yakupov. Like, yeah, straight up, let's do this because, you know, we got our future goaltender here. And yeah, you got to give top talent to get top talent. We need a top six forward. Maybe this is a good segue into what we just learned about Nail Yakupov this week. So, full yeah, stop.
And you think that my Twitter is inappropriate?
What, the Nail Yakupov was a scratch for two games?
Oh, this is. I don't think I need to back check. It's like, remember that trade? Never mind.
Well, there was an even more interesting comment I heard today. Igor Kravchuk was on the radio today.
Yeah, Russian scout.
And he is scouting for the Russian Federation for their Olympic team. And he and Jason York go way back from when they used to play with the Senators together, so he came on the radio today. And the exact quote from Igor Kravchuk, if he's not going to change his game, he has no future. He has no team game. Ooh. So if he wants to play in Sochi, this is the guy who you need to impress.
Nikita Filatov.
Yeah. Exactly right. That was one of the names that came up, actually.
Alexander Degg?
Yeah. Same sort of deal.
Degg kind of grew up, but...
Eventually, but he also just didn't want... He decided he didn't want to play hockey anymore. Like, his heart just wasn't in it. He was very talented. He just had no heart. He was saying, I don't feel like doing this anymore. So he didn't. He just didn't have any drive at all. Speaking of Russians... I'm serious. Sergei Fedorov. I don't know if you heard this because this news came out late last week while you were down in the States. Sergei Fedorov, who is the GM for the KHL team CSKA. Well, actually, he's not going to be the GM anymore because he's coming out of retirement to play for them. For real.
Player coach.
Well, player GM.
Didn't Mario Lemieux do something like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, owner player is different.
Well, Fedorov's also 43. I think Mario was, what, about 36 at the time?
Pass the puck to me or I trade you. Okay, sir. Here you go, Sergei.
You're not even traded. You're just fired.
Exactly. We're going on the road trip. You're not coming with us. Okay. Fun. Now, Canuck, you wanted to talk about Joe Thornton getting back to San Jose.
Well, I mean, this is the first time we've recorded since that crazy news come out. So let's just mention it and see. You know, we're a little late to the game.
A sound clip for a second. I was like,
oh, that'd be awesome. That? Yeah. But basically, it goes back to the hurdle scoring four goals and Adam Oates being outraged at the way the fourth goal was scored between the legs. And apparently, Joe Thornton, after hearing a question to Marlowe about Hertl and whether he is showboating, Thornton said, shut up, have you ever played the game? When the press turned away, he then added, I'd have my cock out if I scored four goals. I'd have my cock out stroking it.
You're going to censor yourself on that, aren't you?
No. This is, I just said
because
cock.
It's a quote, so it's okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's a quote.
Oh,
he
I
said
see.
Cock.
All right, then. Well, he also said that off the record, and that was just sort of in the room talk that never should have been going out anywhere. And I think that reporter is probably going to find the room is closed to him for the next forever.
Yep.
After doing something like that. But,
oh, yeah. His career is over.
Oh, yeah.
That was he did it to create a name for himself.
Well, he got one. Not really sure it's what he's looking for, but yeah, dumb move on the reporter's part. Honestly, there are rules, just like there are in reporters up on the hill, what you do and don't talk about. Yeah, there are rules, and you follow them, or you are not welcome.
This was right before Pan and I went to the game in San Jose, and I'm thinking, if he scores 4 goals, this could get pretty awkward.
You know, after the third, he'll just start passing it.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable.
Probably.
Like, listen, like, we do this for free and we hear stories. We're not going to say these things.
Exactly. Now, Canuck, you sent a link the other day, and I have to admit, I didn't look at it a whole lot.
Neither did I.
Until earlier today.
Yeah.
New Jersey is having a pick a goal song contest. Am I right?
Yeah, Ottawa did this a few years ago, right? So yeah, I got an email.
And the Leafers bombarded it.
Yeah. So I got an email because I had bought tickets to a New Jersey game last year. And I get an email from New Jersey Devils, help pick the goal song. So, you know, here's the steps. It gives you, you know, submit your goal songs. I'm thinking, geez, remember what Toronto did to us? Like, it was between, I don't know, like a Britney Spears song and Nickelback. So I don't know. Any ideas? I was thinking maybe this one. What does the fuck?
No.
Hey, Snappy. New York Rangers fans, get on that.
Yeah. Snappy. It should be Snappy.
Snappy for the goal song?
No, yeah. It's what does a fox say is better. Because it's that annoying.
Harlem Shake.
Snappy won't know what the hell's going on.
You could do Snappy for when the other team scores.
Yeah.
Do you really want to hurt me? Culture Club. Oh, that's going back. That could be fun too. Yeah, okay. We'll have to get in on that. We should put the link up in the forum so everybody can
Isn't New Jersey in bad debt, or they fixed that problem with ownership?
The new ownership.
They have new ownership who restructured it somewhat, yeah.
No, because that guy ended up selling it to the owner of the Phillies?
Or 76ers.
76ers, that's it.
Yeah.
So that guy's got deep pockets. I think he probably just paid off all the debt.
Oh, okay.
So, money,
there you go. There's my submissions.
Oh, I would be going with the Flying Lizards if I was doing a money song. Bad Beatles cover. Okay, well, that could be fun to do. We should send a few things in just for fun, especially if they choose one of them. I wouldn't be surprised if the What Does the Fox Say actually wins, because, well, that song seems strangely popular at the moment for reasons I do not understand. There was an interview this afternoon on the radio. I'll cover this quickly. I wrote down a couple of quotes from this interview with Eugene Melnick, was on the radio. And I thought it was an interesting interview, mostly because he wasn't on Toronto radio, so they weren't throwing loaded questions out there to stir him up and have him say something that afterwards he'd probably go, I wish I hadn't said that. But he did make a couple of interesting points that I thought I'll just cover quickly, and you can talk about them. Well, I'm sure there'll be a couple of things to talk about out of all this.
Oh, there will be.
The report of a little while ago that he had lost $94 million is incorrect. He says it's $110 million since taking over the team. But he said a lot of those losses have to do with the financial crisis and subsequent years affected the organization. It's basically a cost of doing business in the way that the money markets were working and so on.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Words to that effect. He talks faster than I can type. And I can type pretty quickly, but not quite this quickly as he was talking.
He screwed up his futures contracts on the U.S. dollar.
Could be. He said, the problem is we can't continue to spend up to the cap without good reason. The cap's going up. Revenues are increasing. We do have to spend, but we don't have to go toe-to-toe with the guys who just throw money around. often for bad reasons like covering up mistakes and throwing cap in the minors. The Sens organization is in a great space where cap space is a commodity to unload, a salary from somebody else. We're in a sweet spot, like having almost like having a first round draft pick, where we can take a bad contract from somebody else if it's looking like the right thing to do for us. The team is staying, but it does need to get something. Something needs to be done to improve the financial, like the money coming in. And he is working with the city and the business community. The file, which turned into a mess, is being straightened out, and he's working with the mayor's office to figure out a way to fix the whole situation. There was no hesitation on his part that the team can continue to deliver a product that will sell tickets. They haven't hit the magic number where ticket scarcity will drive more sales than walk-ups. Right now it's about 12,000 season tickets, 12,000 plus. And he figures if it reaches 14, that's about where you have to start thinking about stopping selling season ticket packages, or there won't be enough tickets for casual fans because it's
a big
walk-up.
I'll stop you right there.
Mm-hmm.
So he said we've got 12,000 season ticket holders.
The equivalent of 12,000 season ticket holders.
No, he said 12,000. No, it's 12.
Okay.
So I am a season ticket holder. I go to 20 of the 40 games. Canuck is a season ticket holder. He goes to 20 of the 40 games.
Okay. So you want...
We have... Between the two of us, we have one seat filled for each game. But you're counting two.
Okay, so the number should be maybe 16 if it's going to be partial ones. Because there was a later comment that I'm pretty sure he said it was 12,000 full season because of the packages. But
I hope so. It better be. It has to be. Because selling 8,000 a walk-up is not healthy. I don't know that many people have full season. But
the other interesting thing that came out of this was he talked about building changes, like changes to the actual building itself. He feels there are way too many suites in it. When the building was built, it was modeled after the Palace of Auburn Hills, which has a ton of them, but quite frankly, they're hard to sell compared to seats by themselves. And the whole new thing that's getting more and more popular and was something that Tampa started, which was building terraces.
Yeah.
Other than suites.
Well, Canuck, you went to Tampa because that was apparent. What he wants is one of those places where you can just kind of get up. It's like a lounge, I guess. You can get up, grab food, walk back, and it's all kind of open concept right to the game.
Florida has that too, where it's actually like, assuming you're talking about left, like up on the 400 level, they have like a whole section where you could, your ticket includes food.
Yeah.
I think even Boston has something like arrangement like that, although I think they walk out to the concessions. It's a certain zone where your ticket includes food.
New Jersey.
Kind of like Ledge.
I think New Jersey has it as well, but it's down around what we would think of as the equivalent of a 200 suite level.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be interesting because that back when he's right, because when the building was built, the government was allowed to get corporate boxes and do other stuff like that.
Exactly.
Now they're not allowed anymore.
Exactly.
So that's a big clientele that's really gone. But yeah, if you want to talk in regards to them picking up some. He's got the ability to pick someone up. Mm-hmm. Is it a rental at the trade deadline, which I think is what it is? Or the other way to do it is you can take the cap hit and only pay a portion of the player that you're picking up. That's allowed now.
Mm-hmm. Retained salary.
Yeah. So that won't count against the other team's cap.
Well, it'll
count against Ottawa's.
It'll reduce the other team's cap.
But they're still paying for it. Nashville's really going to have to do this too. They were doing it with back-ending contracts and stuff like that. But there's some stuff like that that's going to happen.
I'm tired of it.
Melnick's
time is over. If this doesn't change quickly.
We
are
going to
become the feeder system. We're going to become the Montreal Expos or insert any other team, and fans are going to give up I'll give up on the team if this is what they're going to do. They're just going to develop talent, and then we can't afford to keep it, so somebody else has to take it because we got a budget. Floor teams don't win the cup. I don't care about Carolina. That's an exception to the rule. Floor teams don't win the cup.
Yep.
But if we spend to the cap every year, I'm not saying we have to spend to the cap.
No.
But if we spend to the cap every year, then when players, you know, suddenly need a new contract, there may not be space enough to sign them. We start running into what Pittsburgh ran into.
Oh, like, I agree. I don't want to start playing money puck with this Corsi crap and, you know, make that be the only thing too. Fans are starting to get into that. Just like,
oh, I'm so sick of that stat. Honestly.
When you have 56 shots against, you suck.
This just in. Anyway. It was an interesting interview. You can actually, you can get it as a download if you're interested.
Yeah. TSN 1200 had it. It's interesting, but yeah, there's not really much guidance with that. And when he's saying that, we spent to the cap before, what were the last two big budget UFAs that Ottawa signed from other teams?
Signed as free agents.
Yeah.
Gonchar would be one.
Gonchar.
Mm-hmm.
Kovalev would be the other.
Yep. Melnick went to Brian Murray and just said, I like Kovalev, get him here. I don't think that Murray wanted him. And that was a year of hell, I think. Or the year after. He just coasted the whole time.
Well, he coasted for both of the years he was here.
Yeah. So $5 million. And... because that's the guy that Melnick was a fan of him. Melnick liked him. Oh. You're fine. But then after, and I think what ended up happening was Murray just said, you know what? Just give me a chance to run the team.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So well, he was asking for Gary Roberts back in the day, too. Basically, he's looking at who are the Sens killers. So is that why we got Corvo back? I don't know. Why don't we go for... Pigman there. Tyler really? Kennedy.
Hey, we're done playing him this year anyway. Oh, no. Actually, that's the other thing, because we've got both California teams, both. Two of the California teams coming down.
In the next few weeks.
Yeah. We're screwed.
Now we're meeting them on our ice. It'll be all right. Things will get righted. The ship will be righted. Or something. Got a few emails to get through. Let's get through them. Canuck, you're up with the first one from Chad.
Yeah, Chad, howdy from Texas. Howdy, fellas. Wanted to send greetings from the Lone Star State. I'm in Dallas and a rabid Sens fan. I've called the Underground Hotline and had emails read on the Underground podcast in the past, but wanted to reach out to the new crew and say hello. I'd love to do a recap for you guys, probably when the Sens play down here in Dallas in March. One thing, though, I use an iPad for most everything outside my office. Is there an app or program that already exists on an iPad that I can use to record my recap for you boys? Leafs suck. Chad. Thank you for the email, Chad. You can use anything you want to record your little audio note app on an Apple device. You can if you have a PC, you can hit, you know, Windows Sound Recorder if you want to get fancy and download Audacity. We're actually going to look into something... to put on our website where you could actually just online record something and kind of turn it into like, you know, the Rage Line. So maybe a little sneak peek into something we might get here soon. So lots of options, whatever's easiest. You want to send in a game recap? That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. We appreciate that sort of thing.
Yes, please.
And all the sound clips that we got from the players saying, I'm so-and-so, and you're listening to the Sens Cops that were played opening, I guess, two episodes ago. Those were all recorded using an iPhone and the little sound recorder app in that. So they sound all right.
Still not quite sure who Danny Hobbs is.
He's in Elmira.
He's in Elmira.
Yeah. He's young. I'm up with the next one from Sam. Yeah, we haven't read this one. I haven't read this one yet, have we? No. Nope. Okay. Sam, subject. Ottawa is itching for a cup. We need a Stanley Cup. Canada needs one. And more importantly, Ottawa needs one. But what do we need to win? D defense has really screwed the pooch lately, but it seems they are getting better, and Cowan and Weerkosh can only get better. So I believe we can trust them, and our two goaltenders are among the best in the league, which has always been why we couldn't succeed in the playoffs. That leaves us with our forwards. Our top six seems very strong, but after it, it seems our bottom six is struggling. We need a good bottom three scoring player or a top six player and move Konecker to the wing like Zibad and Greening. Sorry, with Zibad and Greening. I think a top six player would be the way to go because Zibad, Konecker, and Greening sounds like a very good third line that could get us goals when we need it. But who is out there? Vanek? Yakupov? Alfie? Just kidding. Why, Alfie? Why? It may be too early to trade, but I want your thoughts on my thoughts and who or what would we be able to give up to get something like that? Smith, a prospect, and a third pick? Thanks, Sam, the biggest Sens fan in Atlantic Canada. Well, I think we've already covered Yakupov.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
We do need a household name top six. I'm not talking about Grant. Not even talking about Mika or Klinkhammer.
Prospects definitely don't fill in as a top six.
We need a name that when you say it, yeah, household name. I know him, and that's what we need right now. We'll fix the D. We know we got the right pieces there. That'll get fixed. This is early season sloppiness, and got confidence there. But I don't know. I mean, the only person you mentioned, like Vanek, a name like that.
Too expensive.
He's too expensive, but a name like that. Someone like that.
Well, we'll see how it sits, especially as we get close to the trade deadline, because there are a lot of teams that are just right up against the cap right now and can't do anything. They can't bring in somebody like what Pittsburgh did last year. They have no space to do it unless they maybe have a player who's injured and out for the rest of the season and is under contract for a couple more years and trade them to us. And then that way they could bring in what they want. Maybe that's how we could pick up a household name. But do we want to pick up an injured player? Hard to say.
I really hope we don't have a good showing. We get to the trade deadline and there's some very obvious person on the block which could take and would really fit in, and we can't do it because of budget crap. I see it coming already and it's going to suck.
Can I call something again?
Yep.
I'm going to go Voracek, Timonen. And Ray Emery for Anderson.
Hmm. I'd rather have Mason.
We could probably get Mason. Mason's got more value because he's an RFA. Mm. Anderson's going to have to get moved. And I hate it, but he's going to have to get moved.
Yeah.
But I don't like the depth for our goaltending now.
Only move Anderson if you're getting a sub, like a household name top six back.
And Voracek might be good enough.
Next year is probably the year where Anderson gets moved anyway, but I'm not saying I want that. I'm just saying it seems to be the reality.
I don't know. You move him next year, you might end up getting like an Elliott for Anderson again. There's UFA for UFA.
Yeah.
Because they'd want him for the full year, and once the season is, if you're in the preseason.
Anderson's at his peak right now, and I'm not saying that he's just going to suddenly drop off in, you know, less than a year or something, but he's, I think he's reached his peak. He's at the elite level, and which is awesome. We got him, and we're enjoying it. I think Leonard is still trending up. And
I think Leonard's just as good right now.
Yeah, I think I would trust Leonard in our net. And that's why I say, but you only want to trade away that kind of top talent for something top talent back, right? Otherwise it's stupid.
And I want top talent and goaltending prospect back. I'm tired of having this. I don't want to go back to having one goalie that's good. And we're gnashing our teeth and chewing our nails off about anything else. We've been through that too many times. I like having two good goaltenders.
It's a very good problem to have. It's not a problem.
No.
It's very good to have.
Something that'd be sweet, but I don't think this will ever happen. Jordan Eberle and Dubnyk for Anderson.
How long?
I don't think
Dubnyk
they'd ever give up
Eberle. For?
Sorry.
How long is Dubnyk under contract for?
This year only.
Oh.
Who cares?
Well, I just don't want him. That's why I didn't want to be saddled with him for another 3 years.
Oh no no no. And I don't think they'll ever get rid of Eberle, even though he doesn't have a no trade. His cap hits, what's his salary? Salary's always six.
That's an interesting thought.
So that's a problem. You might have to send a defenseman back with him and maybe a weird caution. I think they probably want something more defensive. They'd ask for a Cowan. I wouldn't really want to give that up, but give him like a Griba. Ottawa and Edmonton have to do something. Edmonton has to do something at all, but I think there's a lot of offense there that we could love to take. Sam Gagner would also be awesome. He does have a no trade, but I don't know. And I think Sam Gagner is a center, so we don't really need another center. That's been a problem. But
I'm just surprised that Edmonton hasn't gone out and done something with some of the goalies that are out there.
Or as a free agent.
Hmm?
Like, they didn't sign any type of free agent to a PTO or...
No. I mean, there's... the two that come to me off the top of my head are Bryskalov and Theodore. Are they great goaltenders? No, but they're an improvement on what they have. Sign them to a 1 year.
Yeah, I think they just got rid of Happy Boulin, though.
Maybe they want to go for that first-round pick again.
Another one. No. Yeah, they'll do well with that because they've done so well with them in the past.
Yeah, like, this is a time for Edmonton to win, and they just can't keep the puck out of the net.
Nope. Anyway, two emails left. Okay. Let's get through them. Actually, Penn, they both have your name on them. I don't know why that happened.
They're short. Okay.
Yeah. You want to take the Sens Gab one, and I'll read Ivan's?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you changed things. Okay. I didn't print it out. All right, so from Sens Gab.
Yep.
Subject, Leaf Stanley Cup Parade. Hey, call-ups. So I've only been back in Markham for a few days, and I'm already cringing at the amount of blue and white I've seen just walking around town. Clearly, the parade planning has begun. Don't get me wrong, this kind of thing happens every year, but this year it seems like they actually have a reason to be excited. Their team isn't craptastic anymore. 7 games in and there's with a 6-1 record, do you boys honestly think the Leafs team is a real deal? Or should we all be holding our breath waiting for the Leafs to inevitably fail?
I think their record is unrealistically inflated based on the teams they've been playing so far. Are they better than they have been in years past?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let them run into some really stiff opposition and see what they're actually made of. And I think they're also going to start to implode on the blue line and in the blue paint probably somewhere around February.
I don't know. They've got options now.
Carlisle's starting his nonsense too. Isn't he got Kadri in the doghouse?
Yeah, Kadri's in hell. Gardner's on the trade block. They're hero, right?
It's only a matter of time.
It's ridiculous. So
celebrate good time.
Now, the nice part about the Thanksgiving weekend when you're in first year is you go home and everybody breaks up with their high school boyfriends and girlfriends.
Nice. That's so nice.
You should get out of there anyway.
Right. So I don't know. I think their record is not indicative of what it will be throughout the entire year. Are they doing well right now? Yeah. But we'll see whether they can actually keep it up or not. Ottawa's just played like their biggest and most difficult road trip of the year, and they're still playing 500 hockey. So
I'm concerned about the Leafs. I think
it's going to be back and forth with Ottawa all year. They're going to be real tight.
I'm tired of them having Ottawa's number.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of that. I'll give you that.
And that's going to be real significant again.
Yes, because we'll divisional playoffs. I'm not looking forward to that. I don't like the idea of divisional playoffs, period. I could give a damn who's in our division. These are the teams that you play the most all year, and guess what? You play them first in the playoffs all the time. Fantastic. actually. Nope, not at all.
You know anyway, what else last... is great? No, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Something else. I'm just kind of flopping through things here. We now have 3 games past 9 o'clock starts now. Colorado and the Alberta teams. No more 10 p.m. starts.
We don't play in Vancouver?
I was going to say
Vancouver. It's an afternoon game.
Afternoon. Okay.
Even better.
So it'll be 7 o'clock our time.
Nice.
Oh, it's a great way to start the season. It's really rough. 6 games on the road for a team like that.
We leave there with 0 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the 4 or how many we got? 3?
Can live with it.
Yep.
6 of 12. Absolutely. Or sorry, 4 or 12. No. 6. 2-2-2.
Last email of the night. Come on, let's get out of here. And it's from Ivan White, who says he's coming in lukewarm. I'm totally stoked for tomorrow night. I actually kissed my plasma. Don't try this at home, kids. It's hot. And I got Conacher right on the lips when he scored. Unfortunately, it was right back to laughs highlights 30 seconds later. Yeah. I was disappointed by this.
Joke.
And found that it really took the specialness out of what was... what the A1 line was able to accomplish. Let's hope that the Sens have the kinks worked out of the D by tomorrow night. Yeah, don't take that the wrong way. And because it needs to be a team effort, not 2D grinding in the corners with 3 forwards circling listlessly in the circles. I'm coming in lukewarm, baby. Keep up the great show. I appreciate what you guys are doing for Sens fans around the world and in Newfoundland. Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
I like how you put that. Newfoundland's not part of the world.
And in Newfoundland.
It's well, around the world and in Newfoundland, because Newfoundland is the center of the universe. That's why. Thanks, Ivan. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. We will.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's tomorrow.
I was supposed to be in Newfoundland this week, but...
and then everything changed.
And everything changed.
I think you're as mad about that than I was about the Anaheim game. No comment.
Let's move on.
Yeah. See, no, right. Actually, I was kind of glad. It was too much.
Yeah. Traveling gets tiring, and I don't travel nearly as much as you do. That's great.
Just spend time with your family, man.
The week to come, we have Game 7, which is tomorrow night, Thursday the 17th. The Devils are visiting the Senators. Game 8 is Saturday the 19th, where the Oilers are visiting the Senators. And next Wednesday night is game 9 of the season, where the Senators will be in Detroit visiting the Red Wings. So it's the first time that the Senators will be facing their former captain, player number 11. And that's all we're going to say about that, because, well, I'm tired of...
I'm hoping we're going to do an emergency episode after that.
Yeah. Might be doing... It's a Wednesday. We might be doing a regular one. We've talked an awful lot tonight. And I mean, I'm sure I've been... I can honestly say I hadn't heard all the details about your trip until we did this show, because I deliberately didn't ask. So
yeah,
I'm glad you guys, it sounded like you certainly had a hell of a lot of fun. A little.
Oh yeah, it was a blast.
A little bit of rage here and there, but fun nonetheless.
Yeah, that's pretty much my life though. I just walk in on Tuesday at work, and then something went wrong when I was gone. And I just hear the guy next to me, he's just talking on the phone. He's like, okay, I got to go. Pan's yelling again.
Pan, before we sign off here, tell your custom story.
Oh, that's right. God, I forgot to ask about that.
This is awesome. So where was our flight? It was from Ottawa to Toronto.
Ottawa, Toronto, LA. Toronto, LA. Yeah. So clearing customs in Toronto.
Yeah. So we got a clearing in Toronto. So Canucks got his Nexus pass. So he just kind of flies through things. No one cares. So I'm just like behind with the rest of the trough. Get my customs guy's like, all right, great. He's a fellow countryman, so that'll be good. And then I realize the Chinese people just don't get along with each other. Let's go up to talk to this guy, give him my passport, give him my tickets. His name's Chen. He's like, so where are you going? So I'm going down to California with a couple of locations there, and there's some internal flights within California. He's like, okay, why are you going there? Most of the time people just say pleasure and then move on. I give a lot of details. I was like, well, we're just going down to follow the Ottawa Senators just down on the road trip. He's like, why would you want to do that? You know what? Fuck you, Leafer.
And then things went downhill. No.
He's like, but why would you go to California to see the scene? He's like, well, you're in Toronto. Have you never seen anyone go and down to tour and follow their team? I don't know. That was a little frustrating. Then I got scared.
But he let you through eventually?
Yeah, he just didn't get it. He's like, but Ottawa's a lot closer. I was like, yeah, I know. I go to those games too. So, what? All right.
Not a hockey fan. Stamp
the thing. No.
Not a hockey fan.
I don't know. It was. Yeah, I just found that kind of funny because it's going out of Toronto.
Yeah. Anyway. Why would you want to do that?
That's a good question. But I guess if they're not a hockey fan, they don't get it. Because, I mean, if they're a football fan,
well, it happens. They only play
once a week.
Yeah.
So a road trip is one game. Oh, I'm going down to Jacksonville because it was the only place I could get tickets to a Green Bay game because you can't get them in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, nod, shake. Okay, that makes sense. You're going to Jacksonville because they have the worst team in the league. So that would make sense. They do.
Well, and that's why people go to Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, no. The Bills are better than the Jacksonville Jaguars are the Buffalo Sabres of the NFL.
No, I know. That's
terrible. Just terrible.
Oh, boy.
All right. Any more stories you want to tell, or can we get out of here and let people get back to their regular lives?
Nah. It's good to be home.
Yeah, Beverly Hills is awesome, by the way. I loved it there.
Excellent.
I really enjoyed that.
I can say I'm looking forward to seeing people on Saturday. You guys will be at the game tomorrow night on Thursday. I'll be at the game on Saturday, the Edmonton game. Looking forward to meeting a few people. Which jerseys are you wearing to the game on Saturday? So if people see the three of us standing, I will be wearing my Heritage jersey, Mark Mathot.
I think I'm going to do it.
Everybody's going to be wearing a Heritage jersey.
Yeah.
Yes, but if they happen to see Anderson, Ryan, Mathot.
Okay, so you're wearing your Mathot jersey, so I can't wear mine. So I got to wear my Ryan one, which means that Canuck can't wear his Ryan one, so you got to wear the Anderson one.
I was going to wear the Anderson one tomorrow night. I figure Anderson's starting, and then Leonard's on Saturday.
Two games, I don't know.
We'll see.
Anyway, I was just going to say, if you'd already decided, then if people see the three of us standing together, please come over and say hi. Introduce yourselves.
Yeah.
Where are we? 319 for tomorrow, Thursday. 317 for Saturday. And Puddle Duck's there. Everyone knows Puddle Duck.
Yeah. And Ivan will be there as well.
Yep.
It'll be fun. Drop over, say hi.
And watch me rage.
Yeah, I'm the quiet one. So.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I'm sitting next to Pan at the games that we went to. When they dropped the puck, I hear Pan go, "Game on!" And then at the San Jose game, TJ was behind us. And I kid you not, it was like the referee was waving someone out of the face-off for whatever reason. I heard him say something like, "I really hate that."
We've got our quips. Eh?
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right, good night, lads.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Folks, email us at podcast@sendscallups.com. Visit the online forums. Follow us on Twitter. We'll have more to talk about next week. Until then,
follow me on Twitter.
You can follow Penn on Twitter, too. Until next week. Good night.